بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله النبي الكريم. أما بعد, first of all, I forgot to make the announcement last week. I said the book that we're going to base it off of is Bidayat al-Hidayah. We're going to base it off of Imam Ghazali rahimullah's book, Bidayat al-Hidayah, known as the beginning of guidance. You can purchase this book online too. You can purchase this book on Amazon or one of the other bookstores, and you can follow along with the book. Since I forgot to announce it, we'll only do half of the introduction today, inshallah. Before we start, because some of the people had already bought the book, just explain the book a little bit. It is one of the newest translations of Bidayat al-Hidayah. It was done recently. It was in one of the newest translations. It has the Arabic on the right side and English on the left side. And it's a pretty good translation. It's the Arabic is very easy to read too. At the end of the book, he put, throughout the book, he gives du'as to do. Like when you make wudu, what du'a should you make? When you walk into the washroom, what du'a do you make? At the end of the book, he gave the transliteration too. So it's easier to read too. If you can't read the Arabic, there's a transliteration at the end of the book too. When Imam Ghazali rahimullah wrote his book, Ihya Ulum al-Din. Ihya means to revive, to bring it back to life. So Ulum al-Din, he brought the sciences of deen, the sciences of religion, he brought it back to life. He brought the sciences of deen back to life. This is, you could say, a summary of Ihya Ulum al-Din. So whenever when he wrote this book, Ihya Ulum al-Din, when he would write a hadith or some kind of narration, he wouldn't give any reference. He wouldn't say where he got, what book of hadith he got it from, where is this hadith going back to, what story, where did he get it from. He wouldn't give any references. He wouldn't give the source of where he got this hadith from. So later on, a scholar by the name of Hafiz Iraqi rahimullah, he wrote down all the references. He checked every hadith, he looked for it in all of the hadith book, and he wrote down, okay, this hadith was found in this book. Is it weak? Is it sahih? Is it authentic? Is it correct? Is it wrong? What kind of rank does it get? What kind of darajah it gets? And he did all of the work for that. His name was Hafiz Iraqi. Even in this book, you'll see it in parentheses in the English, where Hafiz Iraqi says what book this is from, which hadith book this belongs to. And throughout the book, when it comes to fiqh, jurisprudence, he gives the opinion according to the mazhab of Imam Shafi rahimullah. As Imam Ghazali rahimullah was of the Shafi school of thought. So when he would give a fiqh opinion, he would give it of the Shafi fiqh of opinion. However, at the end of the book, the one who translated and worked on this book was Hanafi. So at the end of the book, he corrected or gave our opinion. Didn't correct, but he gave our opinion and the proof. So at the end of the book, there's Hanafi proof too, and inshallah we'll go over that too. So at the end of the book, he'll tell you the proof that why do the Hanafi scholars say this. At the end of the book, he'll tell us, inshallah. Or we'll go through it while we're doing it. According to some scholars, before Imam Ghazali rahimullah passed away, he changed the school of thought and became Maliki at the end. Some scholars say he became a Maliki scholar. He followed the school of thought, Imam Malik rahimullah, before he passed away. Wallahu a'lam. But in those days, it was common to switch, and according to their knowledge, they would switch from one mazhab to another mazhab. Like the great Imam Tahawi rahimullah, who was born in a family of Shafi scholars, but he became one of the greatest Hanafi scholars. So according to their intellect and their knowledge, they would change their school of thought. According to some scholars, Imam Ghazali rahimullah, before he passed away, he followed the Maliki mazhab. The reason I chose this book is because this book, it's not just like a Jannah, Jahannam kind of thing. Hereafter, you get heaven, paradise, hell, or whatever. It gives a more practical way to live life. Imam Ghazali rahimullah is telling us how to be Muslims. He's telling us from his own experience, how to be a true Muslim in this practical world. How to make ghusl in accordance to the way you're supposed to make ghusl too. How to make ablution, how to make wudu. He teaches us everything from the beginning to the end. How to sleep and everything. He teaches us a way to do it where we can get a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's not like just we're doing it for the sake of doing it. He teaches us how to do it and gain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He teaches us both things. So this book is broken up into three parts. Remember, this is an introduction of his main book of Ihya Ulum al-Din. So this is a short summary of his book. It's broken up into three parts. Basically, at the beginning, he tells us what we should do, what things we should do. The second part is what we shouldn't do, what we should refrain from. sins not to, what sins not to commit, or all, obviously we shouldn't be committing any sins, but how to refrain from these things. And at the end, he tells us how to develop a companionship, a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now before we start the book, there's a few things to bear in mind. Imam Ghazali rahimullah is talking to one of the students. He's gone through the journey, such a journey. After he became the top scholar, he left that, as we went over in the previous class. He left that and then he became a scholar and cleaned up his heart and corrected his intentions. So now when Imam Ghazali rahimullah is talking, he's thinking about how he used to think. And now he's giving them an advice in accordance to how he was thinking too. You know, the thoughts he was going on, what was going on in his mind, if he was showing off, if he was doing it for pride, if he was doing it to get honor, to turn everyone's attention towards it. This is how he talks to someone now. Basically, he's saying, I've been where you are right now. I've already done it. And I'm way past you. So when he talks at a very, you could say, a strict level, at an extreme level. So Imam Ghazali rahimullah, each person will have to take it in accordance to him. Meaning what you can do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. We haven't given any soul any responsibility except what he can bear. So whenever we talk about Imam Ghazali rahimullah is saying something, we need to take it in accordance to what we can do, what we in our practical life, what we can bring to our life and implement. Obviously refraining from sins, but what we can, and try to understand it at your own level. Because Imam Ghazali rahimullah says it at a very, very high level. So next time, inshallah, we'll try to have a projector or some kind of way where you guys can see the Arabic at least, if not the English. So I read the Arabic text for now. Inshallah, next week, if you guys would have a book, inshallah. If not, then we'll have it on the projector so we can go with it. So we can at least start the book. I'll try not to finish the introduction. That way next week, everyone can have the book. He starts off with, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. الحمد لله حق حمده والصلاة والسلام على محمد رسوله وعبده وعلى آله وأصحابه من بعده. He says, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم, in the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful. الحمد لله حق حمده. All praise be to Allah, or all praise belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. حق حمده, as is his right to be praised. وَالصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ, and peace and blessings be upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is his messenger and his slave, meaning Allah's messenger and Allah's slave. وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ وَأَصْحَابِهِ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ, and upon his family and his companions after him. A very important lesson right here too. If you look at the books that the scholars wrote, any book that they would write, or any work they would do, it always started off in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi haqqa hamdihi. All praise belongs to Allah. So they always started off their speech. They always started off their book with in the name of Allah and sending or praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When somebody says Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim and comes in a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Kullu amrin dhi barin la yubda'u fihi bihamdillah fahuwa aqta. Any work that you do, that you start, any action that you're about to do, and it doesn't start with the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this work is defective. This work cannot be complete. Because it didn't have the name of Allah, what work can be complete that doesn't have the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the scholars have had a difference of opinion, whether this hadith is sahih or hasan, or what darja, is it weak or not. But he said, كُلُّ أَمْرٍ ذِيبَالٍ لَا يُبْدَأُ فِيهَا بِبِسْمِ اللَّهِ فَهُوَ أَبْتَر. Any work that you do, any good or any action that you start, and it doesn't start in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَهُوَ أَبْتَرْ, it is also defective or it's not complete. So it's very important whatever we do too. A practical thing for us too. When we go to work, whenever we're starting work, it's very simple to just say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim right before you start. Just before you start, all you have to do is say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, and that work will have the help of Allah. So when you say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, you're basically asking the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that whatever work I'm doing, ya Allah, make it easy for me. So it's very easy. It's very practical too that we can actually do. It's not like it's something difficult where we have to open up a book and have a tasbih in our hand or have it's not difficult at all. Any work that we do, we walk in our car, we can say Bismillah. We put on our shoes, we can say Bismillah. So Imam Ghazali and all the other scholars, whenever they start their book, Bismillah and Alhamdulillah. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله حق حمده والصلاة والسلام على محمد رسوله وعبده وعلى آله وأصحابه من بعده أما بعد. And after this, to proceed, he says, فَعْلَمْ أَيُّهَا الْحَرِيسِ. Now remember who he's talking to and how he's talking. فَعْلَمْ أَيُّهَا الْحَرِيسِ. He says, فَعْلَمْ. Understand, pay attention, listen carefully about to what I'm about to say. He's waking him up. Pay attention right now. فَعْلَمْ. Understand what I'm about to tell you. And the wordings that he used in accordance to what he's thinking to. أَيُّهَا الْحَرِيسُ عَلَى اقْتِبَاسِ الْعِلْمِ. O you who are desirous of acquiring sacred knowledge. So he uses the word haris. You know, we say طلب العلم. Common word in Urdu, طلب العلم. طلب العلم or طالب العلم means somebody who's seeking knowledge. He's seeking knowledge. He wants to acquire knowledge. That's what talab means. Talab means to desire for something, to wish something, to ask for something, to want something. Instead of saying that, he says, أَيُّهَا الْحَرِيسِ. All you who are desire of knowledge. And the wordings he used too, subhanAllah, عَلَىٰ اِتِّبَاسِ الْعِلْمِ. One who wants to acquire knowledge. If you see in the Quran where the word qabas is loose, from Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, when he said that I want to go get fire, and I will get a part of that fire so that maybe it can warm us up or it can be a means of direction for us or guidance for us. So the word he used was اقتباس العلم. So it doesn't mean to just acquire knowledge, it means to acquire beneficial knowledge. Which in this case, of course, sacred knowledge or knowledge of Quran and Hadith is without a doubt sacred knowledge. Without a doubt is beneficial knowledge. المظهر من نفسه صدق الرغبة فيه. Expressing in yourself a sincere longing and a passionate thirst for it. وَفَرْتُ التَّعَتُّشِ إِلَيْهِ. This person who's coming to Imam Ghazali rahimullah, he's talking in a way that, you know, he really wants to learn. He has a desire for knowledge. So Imam Ghazali rahimullah says, oh, you desire of knowledge. You want this sacred knowledge. You're longing for this knowledge. فَرْتُ التَّعَتُّشِ. Basically, in other words, you have an extreme desire for it. شِدَّةُ الْإِشْتِيَاقِ in Arabic. A very, very high shock, as we say in Urdu. There's a lot of shock for it. He really, really wants it. وَفَرْتَ التَّعَتُّشِ. The translation is thirst. There's an extreme amount of thirst for knowledge. أَنَّكَ إِن كُنْتَ تَقْصِدُ بِطَلَبِ الْعِلْمِ الْمُنَافَسَةَ وَالْمُبَاهَاتَ وَالتَّقَدُّمَ عَلَى الْأَقْرَانِ وَاسْتِمَالَةَ وُجُوهِ النَّاسِ إِلَيْكَ وَجَمَعَ حُطَامِ الدُّنْيَا. Now, if you are, أَنَّكَ إِن كُنْتَ تَقْصِدُ بِطَلَبِ الْعِلْمِ. If your aim in seeking knowledge is to compete, المنافسة means to compete, to you know, have a battle against each other, compete with one another, to gain knowledge. So basically he's trying to show everyone that he's better than them. المنافسة, he's trying to compete with them to show them that he's better than them. والمباهات, same meaning, compete, but that is so you can be prideful. You can be prideful. You can tell everyone that I'm smart. So this is why you're gaining knowledge. وَالتَّقَدُّمَ عَلَى الْأَقْرَانِ. And so that you, and the translation in here is, to compete, show off, and outdo your peers. وَالتَّقَدُّمَ or وَالتَّقَدُّمَ عَلَى الْأَقْرَانِ. What this means is to outdo your classmates, mean to be better than your classmates. You have all your classmates sitting next to you, you have your students sitting next to you. You want to have the best knowledge. You want to be the smartest just so you can be better than them. Only reason you're studying is to get ahead of all your friends. And now it's common whenever somebody learns something and now people start respecting that person. So he starts preaching Islam like he knows something, whereas he might not know anything. But the only reason he was doing it, so people start respecting him. All his friends, his close people respect him because of his knowledge. وَاسْتِمَالَةَ وُجُوهِ النَّاسِ. And turn the attention of people towards you. Istimala means to make to attract people. Wujuhin nas, the faces of people towards you. In other words, attract their attention. You're only doing it so people know you, so you become famous, and people can see who you are. Wajama'a, you become the best speaker, and you go anywhere, and all these people are wanting to meet you and greet you and get your autograph and take pictures. This is why you're teaching. This is why you're learning. Wajama'a hutam ad-dunya. And to amass, you can say, hutam is something that is like fragments or like something that is broken pieces, something that no one cares about. Or in this case, in the translation, this, to amass the debris of this world. So this is dirt. You're just trying to gain all of these small things. If this is your intention, فأنت ساع في هدم دينك وإهلاك نفسك وبيع آخرتك بالدنيا. He's teaching us something very important too. Anything that we do too, not just this knowledge right here, but any knowledge that we get, if we have this intention, if we have these kind of intentions, then what is it going to do? فَأَنْتَ سَعِنْ فِي هَدْمِ دِينَكَ. Then you shouldn't learn it. That's basically exactly what Imam Ghazali is telling them. If these are your intentions, if your intentions are corrupt, your intentions are bad, then don't do this. Please save yourself from this. فَأَنْتَ سَعِنْ فِي هَدْمِ دِينَكَ. Then you are on your way to rendering your religion null and void. You're on your way to destroying yourself and selling your eternal life for this present one. So Imam Ghazali is telling him straight up, your intentions are not corrupt. Your intentions are not correct. Your intentions are corrupt. Then in that case, you shouldn't even learn. It's better for you not to have this knowledge. فَصَفْقَتُكَ خَاسِرَةٌ وَتِجَارَتُكَ بَائِرَةٌ. Your transaction, the words you use is fasafka, means your transaction is empty or it's loss. It's completely vain. It didn't have no profit at all. وَتِجَارَتُكَ بَائِرَةٌ. And your business is profitless. You're not gaining anything. So Imam Ghazali rahimullah is saying, if this is your intention, then you will receive no reward at all for this knowledge. As a matter of fact, this knowledge will destroy you rather than benefiting you. وَمُعَلِّمُكَ مُعِينٌ عَلَىٰ إِسْيَانِكَ. And the one that is teaching you, the one that is teaching you, وَمُعَلِّمُكَ مُعِينٌ لَكَ عَلَىٰ إِسْيَانِكَ. And the person who teaches you in this case is nothing less than an accomplice in your transgression and a partner in your loss. وَشَرِيكٌ لَكَ فِي خُسْرَانِكَ. وَهُوَ كَبَائِي سَيْفٍ مِّنْ قَاطِئِ طَرِيكٍ كَمَا قَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَمَنْ أَعَانَ عَلَى مَأْسِيَةٍ وَلَوْ بِشَطْرِ كَلِمَةٍ كَانَ شَرِيكًا فِيهَا. He can be compared to one who sells a sword to a highway robber. For as the Messenger of Allah صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ said, indeed, whoever helps with a sin, but even half a word is a partner in it. What Imam Ghazali rahimullah is telling us right now, with these words right here, even the teacher, the one who's teaching the student, and the student goes on to use this knowledge that destroys him, hurts him, harms him, destroys him in the akhirah, while Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala questions him and throws him to Jahannam because of this knowledge. This teacher that is teaching him is also a helper in this sin and this transgression that he is committing, that this student is committing. And by you helping, you also suffer his loss. By you helping him become the person he's trying to become because of his intentions. By you helping him, it is your fault. Because a teacher's job is not to just preach. It's to teach them how to act upon it. It's to give them nasiha and advice when needed. If you see the student doing something wrong, you should tell him, you should become aware of it. Hey, you shouldn't do this, you should refrain from this. Imam Abu Yusuf rahimullah, when he passed away, or when he was on his deathbed, or when he had left this world before he was buried, no one wanted to come to his janazah. No one wanted to bury him, even though he was one of the greatest scholars. And the reason being is because he was a judge. He was with the rich people, the leaders of the world. So no one wanted to go. Somebody saw him in a dream. Allahu alam how true it is, but the story about it, the lesson behind it. Somebody saw him in a dream and said, "How did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deal with you?" And he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven me. Why? Because bi nushi al muta'allim. Muta'allimin. Because I used to advise my students, I used to give them nasiha and advice to help them live in accordance to Islam on a practical level. Because of this, Allah has forgiven me. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then gives an example. It is just like you give a sword to someone who's going to go kill someone, to our highway robber who is going to go steal. So Imam Ghazali is saying, you're giving knowledge to the wrong person. You're giving knowledge to the wrong person, so now you're sharik with him, you're partners with him too in this sin. You're also a partner with him in this sin because you are helping him. However, this is only when you clearly know that this person is going to do something wrong. It's not on a general basis that if a teacher teaches a student and that student goes on to be the worst person on earth and then he has the worst intention, he makes up all these rulings and he doesn't follow deen right, it's not the teacher's fault if the teacher didn't know. But if it's clearly visible in front of him, he's doing something completely wrong, he's always breaking the rule, he's always committing sin openly, he's always transgressing the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you didn't advise him, you didn't stop him, and you kept teaching him, then you'll be a partner. But then, Imam Ghazali rahimullah, that's the first part. If this is your intention, then please stop. That's what he's telling him. وَإِن كُنْتَ وَإِن كَانَتْ نِيَّتُكَ وَقَصْدُكَ فِي مَا بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى مِنْ تَعَلُّمِ الْعِلْمِ الْهِدَايَةُ دُونَ مُجَرَّدِ الرِّوَايَةِ فَأَبْشِرْ فَإِنَّ الْمَلَائِكَةَ تَبْسُطُ لَكَ أَجْنِحَتَهَا إِذَا مَشَيْتَ وَحِيتَانَ الْبَحْرِ تَسْتَغْفِرُ لَكَ إِذَا سَعَيْتَ. Imam Ghazali rahimullah says, but if your intention, if in seeking knowledge, your intention and aim, and this is any knowledge, again, it's not just a knowledge where you have a class where you're learning Bukhari or you're learning Hadith or you're learning fiqh in a specific class, any knowledge, any sacred knowledge, anything to do with the tafsir and the Quran and the words of the Quran and the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is also sacred knowledge. Our intention had to be clean then too. If you are learning, if your aim and an intention between Allah Most High and yourself is to gain guidance. دُونَ مُجَرَّدِ الرِّوَايَةِ, and not simply transmission of information. You're not just trying to gain this information for the sake of information. You're actually trying to get guidance to this. You're trying to go on the right path to this. فَأَبْشِرْ. Then glad tidings to you. Then good news for you. Why? The angels will spread their wings for you as you walk. And the fish in the sea will ask forgiveness for you as you strive. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all amongst those people who the angels spread their wings for them and the fishes in the sea beg forgiveness for them. And another hadith is stated that the angels shade this person. The angels spread their wings to shade this student of knowledge. And the fishes in the sea are making dua for this person, are begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive this person. And another narration, the Prophet ﷺ said that even the ants beg forgiveness for this person. So just by seeking knowledge, the angels are making dua for you, the fishes are making dua for you, and even the ants on the sea, ants on the earth are also making dua for you. So imagine how many ants are there and they're all saying, Allah forgive him, Allah forgive him, Allah forgive him, Allah forgive him. And then the fishes on the sea, Allah forgive him, Allah forgive him. And the angels covering them, honoring them by spreading their wings over them. And the scholars say the reason why the angels are doing this, the fishes are making dua and the ants are making dua, is because as long as knowledge is being transmitted, as long as knowledge is being spread and preached to others, as long as there are people on this earth with knowledge, with correct knowledge, with the knowledge of the Quran and the Hadith, as long as those type of people remain on earth, then Qiyamah will not come. As long as there are scholars on the earth, as long as there are people with knowledge of Quran, Tafsir and Hadith, then Qiyamah will not come. Qiyamah will not come. And the ants and the fishes, they want to protect themselves too. The animal kingdom want to protect themselves too. So they're making dua for those people who are acquiring that knowledge that will protect this earth from Qiyamah coming. So this is why the angels beg forgiveness for them. Because you are protectors. You are the reasons why Qiyamah won't start. Because you are acquiring sacred knowledge, knowledge directly from Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the angels want you to remain on this earth. Angels want Allah to forgive you. So more and more people like you come to this earth, so that way we can be safe from Qiyamah starting. So this is the intention that Imam Ghazali rahimahullah says that we should have. And the way to test yourself if you have correct intentions or not. One way to test yourself is that when you're studying by yourself, when you start reading about Islam, you start reading about the religion by yourself, that's more beloved to you than you are when you're in a group. When you are studying by yourself, when it's just you and Allah, that is more beloved to you than when you are studying in a group. When you have that kind of intention for studying knowledge, then Imam Ghazali rahimahullah is saying you have correct intention. Another way to test it is that you want the truth to be spread. You want the truth to be spread, whether it's on your own tongue, or whether it's through you, or whether it's through others. Whether it's through you, or whether it's through others, all you want is haq to spread. So when you have this kind of intention, that means you're doing a sake for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and only Allah. No one else is included in your intention at all. Allah and Allah only. So this is how you can test your intentions. وَلَكِنْ يَنْبَغِي لَكَ أَن تَأْلَمَ قَبْلَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Then he goes on to explain his book. What he's trying to tell you, what he's trying to teach you in this book. And why he called it بِدَايَةَ الْهِدَايَةِ, the beginning of guidance. وَلَكِنْ يَنْبَغِي لَكَ أَن تَأْلَمَ قَبْلَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ أَنَّ الْهِدَايَةَ الَّتِي هِيَ ثَمَرَةُ الْعِلْمِ لَهَا بِدَايَةَ وَنِهَايَةَ وَظَاهِرٌ وَبَاطِنٌ. You should know before all else that guidance, which is the fruit of knowledge, has a beginning and an end, an outward aspect and an inward aspect. وَلَا وُسُولَ إِلَى نِهَايَتِهَا إِلَّا بَعْدَ إِحْكَامِ بِدَايَتِهَا وَلَا عُثُورَ عَلَى بَاطِنِهَا إِلَّا بَعْدَ الْوُقُوفِ عَلَى ظَاهِرِهَا. There is no way that you can reach the end without mastering the beginning. Common sense. You can't get to the end without going from the beginning. Just as there is no way to discover the inner essence, just as there is no way to discover the inner essence of it until you have arrived at an understanding of its outward. Now this point right here, Imam Ghazali rahimahullah is teaching us something very important right now. And just these few lines that he explains everything that he's saying. He's teaching us something very, very important, you could say the purpose of his book. That right now, we need to correct our intentions. Purely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever we're doing, he's always talking about the heart right now. So you can see everything's based off intention right now. One poem comes to mind from before. A person used to love seeking knowledge. Imam Muhammad rahimahullah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he would learn a difficult masla, when he would learn a difficult ruling, he would be so happy. When he learned something so beautiful, he would say, where are the children of kings? They don't know what true sweetness is. They don't know what true sweetness is. SubhanAllah, when you study the Quran and Hadith and you derive a ruling, that is true sweetness. The poet said, رَضِيْنَا قِسْمَةَ الْجَبَّارِ فِينَا لَنَا عِلْمٌ وَلِلْجُهَّالِ مَالُ فَإِنَّ الْمَالَ يَفْنَى أَنْ قَرِيبٍ وَإِنَّ الْعِلْمَ بَاقِي لَا يَزَالُ. What is he saying? رَضِيْنَا قِسْمَةَ الْجَبَّارِ فِينَا. We're happy with whatever Allah has distributed between us. Whatever Allah has distributed between us, we're happy. لَنَا عِلْمٌ وَلِلْجُهَّالِ مَالُ. We have knowledge and the ignorant ones have wealth. فَإِنَّ الْمَالَ يَفْنَى أَنْ قَرِيبٍ. Wealth will soon finish. Wealth, your money will soon finish. فَإِنَّ الْإِلْمَ بَاقِي لَا يَزَالُ. But knowledge, it remains and never ends. But when it comes to knowledge, it remains and it never ends. We're happy with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has distributed between us, that He gave us knowledge and He gave them wealth, because wealth will soon end, but our knowledge will always remain. So Imam Ghazali rahimullah, he says that in order to reach the end, you have to go to the bidayah, you have to go to the beginning. And he goes on to say, وَظَاهِرٌ بَاطِرٌ. It has an outward aspect and it has an inward aspect. Now this is something we need to understand so we don't have some kind of misconception about it too. Remember, at the end of the day, when you talk about innamal a'malu bin niyat, it's talking about your heart. Intentions are from the heart. So your heart plays a very big role in your life. As a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that if this heart is correct, then the rest of your body is correct. If the heart is corrupted, the rest of the body is corrupt. So this heart has a very strong and important role in our life. It's just that we need to understand what kind of role that it has in our life. Imam Ghazali rahimullah, he's saying, in other words, he is talking about something, when he's talking about the beginning of guidance, when he's talking about, remember, at the end of the day, what do we need? We need guidance. Al-Hidayah. Hidayah is the main thing. We need Hidayah. Without Hidayah, we are completely We are completely in a loss. So we need hidayah. The beginning of hidayah has to do with sharia and tariqah. Has to do with sharia and tariqah. These are the Arabic words that are used. So the beginning is sharia and tariqah, and the nihaya, the end, is haqiqah. There's three Arabic words here. Sharia, tariqah, haqiqah. What are they? The scholars have explained it in different ways. One scholar explained it like this. Sharia means everything that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has made us responsible for. Meaning, this is wajib, this is sunnah, this is haram, this is desirable, this is undesirable, this is reprehensible. And all these rulings are all called sharia. And tariqah is to act in accordance to this. What is wajib? You act upon it. You perform all your wajibat. What is fard? You perform your fard prayers. Mandubat, you try to, the mustahab, the desirable actions, you try to do those too. This is what sharia is. When a person follows sharia completely, refrains from sinning, following everything that the Prophet ﷺ has told us we have to do, has advised us to do, the sunnahs and the mustahab and the makruhat, when we have do this, we reach a level called haqiqah. Haqiqah, literal translation, means the reality. You see the reality of things. You see the beauty, the deep beauty that the Quran has. The asrar, the hidden things that are in Quran and Hadith. You start to see those things. You start to understand everything. Why is Allah saying this in the Quran? So in order to get to haqiqah, in order to get to the end, first you have to follow sharia. In order to follow sharia, you have to know what sharia is. Then you have to tariqah, you have to act upon it. Ilmun amal. Knowing and then acting. Then Allah will show you the reality of things. And this scholar says you can understand it through a few Quran ayahs, the way he's giving proof for what he says. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Anfal, إِن تَتَّقُ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ فُرْقَانًا. If you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then يَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ فُرْقَانًا, then He will give you the ability to tell from right and wrong. He will give you the ability to tell from right and wrong. This comes straight from Allah. He's telling you that after you act upon sharia and tariqah, Allah gives you something from Him. Because now you're fearing Allah in His true sense. إِن تَتَّقُ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ فُرْقَانًا. Allah will give you the understanding of right and wrong. And then another ayah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Baqarah, وَاتَّقُ اللَّهَ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمْ اللَّهِ. Fear Allah and Allah will teach you. Fear Allah and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will teach you. وَاتَّقُ اللَّهَ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمْ اللَّهِ. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and He will teach you. Imam Malik rahimullah and Imam Ghazali rahimullah said similar words. Imam Malik rahimullah said, Man amila bima alima. If a person acts upon what he knows, if a person acts upon what he knows, then Allah will give him what he doesn't know. Man amila bima amila bima alima. Man amila bima alima. If a person acts upon what he knows, Allah will teach him what he doesn't know. Allah will give him that knowledge straight from him. From no one else, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you that knowledge. And if you look at these words of Imam Malik rahimahullah, in these words he has summarized sharia, tariqah, and haqiqah. In these three words he summarized. How did he do that? When he said, bima alima. Alima means what? Knowledge. And knowledge is sharia. Knowledge is sharia. Amila is tariqah. And then from Allah you get knowledge, that's haqiqah. Comes straight from Allah. No scholar can teach you this. No teacher can teach you this. It comes straight from Allah. Allah is teaching you this. Allah is the mu'allim in this case, who is the one who's teaching you this knowledge. So act upon what you know and Allah will teach you what you don't know. And then different scholars have explained it in a different way. Another scholar explained it like this, that Sharia is like a ship. Sharia is like a ship, and the sea, the ocean, is like a is like tariqa, and haqiqa is the pearls that you find in the ocean. And there's many, many more examples that they give. But these two words, Sharia and tariqa, they're inseparable. They have to go together. You can't have just Sharia. If you have just Sharia, then it's not complete. If you just have tariqa but no knowledge, it's still incomplete. And the foundations of Sharia are Quran and Hadith. Following the Quran and the Hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Shaykh Mujaddid rahimullah, he explained it in another way. He said Sharia, and in Sharia, he says, Sharia guarantees success of this material world. Sharia guarantees success of this material world and the hereafter. And this tariqah that you do is the vehicle of Sharia. And the haqiqah is the fruits of all this. The sweetness that you feel from all this is the haqiqah. Imam Qushayri rahimullah explained it in another way. He said, Sharia is servitude to Allah. Sharia is servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whereas haqiqah is observation of the lordship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, Sharia is to worship Allah, while haqiqah is to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sharia is to implement everything that you learn, and haqiqah is to observe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His decree. And then, without going into further details, one person came to Sheikh Zakariya rahimullah. And he said to them, because in those, there was a misconception of what tasawwuf was. The wording that were used for tariqah was tasawwuf. Imam Ghazali rahimullah was a Sufi. But there's ways of understanding this word. What does it mean? What are these kind of people? There's the extreme ones, and then the moderate ones, or the proper ones, or the ones that overdo this, and there's the ones that follow the moderate path. So now people started having misconceptions of what tasawwuf or what tariqah was. So one person, he came to Sheikh Zakariya rahimullah, gathered all his arguments, all his dalais and all his evidence and proof that if Sheikh Zakariya says this, then I'm going to tell him this, and I'm going to prove him wrong like this. So he goes to Sheikh Zakariya rahimullah and he says, what is tasawwuf? What is tariqah? And he tells Sheikh Zakariya that I gathered a lot of information, why don't you sleep on it? You know, think about it for a bit, study it a bit, and then get back to me. Sheikh Zakariya rahimullah right away answered him. And the way he answered, subhanAllah, this is what you can say, that knowledge comes straight from Allah. He answers right away, and the word, what he says is, it begins with إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. It begins with إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ, referring to the heart. And it ends with the attainment of ihsan. It begins with إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ, and it ends with the attainment of ihsan. What does this mean? First of all, innama al-a'malu binniyat has to do with our heart. Ihsan is talking about the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came and he asked, mal ihsan? What is ihsan? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that you worship Allah as if you see Him. You worship Allah as if you see Him. Now look at the wordings. The Prophet ﷺ didn't say you worship Allah while knowing that Allah sees you. Because knowledge is part of knowledge. Knowing, just knowing that Allah is there, is that you can say something that's intellectual. Something that's an intellectual attainment. It's not something that you feel. But ihsan, pray as if Allah is watching you, meaning feel, you're conscious of the fact that Allah is watching every move that I'm doing. Sheikh Zakariya rahimullah said, tasawwuf tariqah in essence is innamal a'mal, from the beginning is innamal a'malu bin niyat in anza ihsan. He did a very, in brief words, he summarized the whole thing. So this is something that we need to bear in mind while we're studying too, and give it importance to our daily life too. Then, without going any further, we'll just finish off, you could say, half of this. مقدمة, half of this introduction, and then inshallah we'll do the rest next week inshallah. Imam Ghazali rahimahullah goes on to say, and this is what he's trying to do them. He's trying to give them the beginning. He's trying to tell them how to follow Sharia with tariqah. Don't just know but act upon it too. So this is why I chose this book, because it gives you a practical understanding of how to act upon everything. So when we get there, inshallah, we'll be able to implement it. And every week we'll do maybe two, three chapters, try to implement it the rest of the week. And then that way we'll try to finish the book. And inshallah, through that we'll gain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and a close connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala too. وها أنا مشير عليك ببداية الهداية لتجرب فيها نفسك وتمتحن بها قلبك. Here, I'm going to point you to the beginning of guidance, which is Sharia and Tariqah. Here, I'm going to point you to the beginning of guidance for you to see where you stand and determine what your heart intends. لتجرب فيها نفسك وَتَمْتَحِنُ بِهَا قَلْبَكَ. Keep taking a test of your exam. تُجَرِّبَ أَنْ تَمْتَحِنُ mean the same thing. But keep taking an exam of yourself over and over. Keep taking an exam from exam. Make sure your heart is clean. Make sure your heart is clean. Over and over, take a test of your heart and see if your intentions are correct. Now look at your heart, he's basically saying. Look at your heart. فَإِنْ صَادَفْتَ قَلْبَكَ إِلَيْهَ مَائِلًا وَنَفْسَكَ بِهَا مُطَاوِعَةً ولها قابلة فدونك والتتلؤ إلى النهايات والتغلغل إلى بحار العلوم. If you find your heart inclining toward it, and you find yourself compliant and receptive, then look to the end of it and immerse yourself in the oceans of knowledge. In the oceans of knowledge. If your heart is clean, you're doing it purely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then go ahead, start learning, start attaining this knowledge so you can get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can get to the end. Imam Ghazali basically saying that you're in position and you're ready to study this knowledge. However, وَإِنْ سَادَفْتَ قَلْبَكَ عِنْدَ مُؤَاخَذَتِكَ إِيَّاهُ بِهَا مُسَوِّفًا وَبِالْعَمَلِ بِمُقْتَدَاهَا مُمَاطِلًا. If on the other hand you find that in taking stock of it, your heart puts off starting it, you delaying it over and over, you keep telling yourself that you don't want to do it, you keep thinking back and forth, should I learn knowledge? Is knowledge is important to me? Quran and Hadith, is it important to me or not? If that is the case, وَبِالْعَمَلِ بِمُقْتَدَاهَا مُمَاطِلًا, and you keep asking for more time in responding to its demand, then فَعْلَمْ أَنَّ نَفْسَكَ الْمَائِلَةَ إِلَىٰ طَلَبَ الْإِلْمِ هِيَ نَفْسَ الْأَمَّارَةُ بِالسُّوءِ. Then you should know that you have the wrong intention basically. In other words, this is not your good nafs telling you. Your soul, your good soul that's trying to make you a better person, that's not what's telling you. Your evil soul is telling you. Then know that the part of your lower self wanting knowledge is the self that commands to evil. Nafs al-ammara. This is the part of your soul that keeps telling you to do evil over and over and it doesn't stop. It continues telling you to do evil and evil. He's saying that this is a part of your body that's telling you that you should study. In that case, if this is a soul that's telling you, which has risen up out of obedience to the accursed shaitan. He has done this because he is obeying shaitan, and shaitan's strategy is to throw you to the rope of deceit, then pull you in it by it to the abyss of destruction. His intention is to present evil in the form of good until he succeeds in making you of those who lose the most in respect of their deeds, whose efforts have been wasted in this life while they reckon that they do good work. What Imam Ghazali rahimahullah does, he takes something good, he does muzayyin of it, he beautifies it, he makes it attractive, then he makes you a turn towards it, follow it, but in reality that whole thing was good, that whole thing was bad. And he makes you feel like you're doing something good. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he goes on to say, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّ نَفْسَكَ الْمَائِرَةَ إِلَىٰ طَلَبَ الْإِلْمِ هِيَ نَفْسَ الْأَمَّارَةُ بِالسُّوءِ وَقَدِنْ هَدَتْ مُطِيعَةً لِلشَّيْطَانِ اللَّعِينِ لِيُدَلِّيَكَ بِحَبْلِ الْعُرُورِهِ فَيَسْتَدْرِجَكَ بِمَكِيرَتِهِ إِلَىٰ غَمْرَةِ الْهَلَاكِ وقصده أن يروج عليك الشر في معرض الخير حتى يلحق ب. Then he brings the Quran ayah. الأخسرين أعماله الذين ضل سعيهم في الحياة الدنيا وهم يحسبون أنهم يحسنون صنعا. These people in reality are in total destruction and total loss, but they think that they are doing something good. And he makes it, and then he brings a few hadiths, which is translated, and we'll end with this inshallah. At this point, shaitan will recite to you the excellence of knowledge and the high rank of the scholars. وَعِنْدَ ذَلِكَ يَتْلُ عَلَيْكَ الشَّيْطَانِ فضل العلم والدرجات العلماء وما ورد فيه من الأخبار والآثار ويلهيك عن قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم من ازداد علما ولم يزدد هدى لم يزدد من الله إلا بؤدا. And you remind, and he just diverts your intention totally from these ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, he who increases in knowledge but not in guidance increases only in distance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this one, he makes him forget this one too, of those most severely punished on the day of judgment are the knowledge of, is the knowledge of a person whom Allah did not benefit through his knowledge. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would always make a dua. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min ilmin la yanfa wa qalbin la yakhsha wa 'amalin la yurfa'u wa du'a'in la yusma'u. He always used to make this dua. I seek refuge in you from knowledge that does not benefit, a heart that does not fear, a deed that does not ascend, and an invocation, a dua that is not heard. And then shaitan makes him forget this hadith too. On the night of my ascension to the heavens, I passed by people whose lips were being cut by pincers, or you can say a hook or a scissor, from the hellfire. So I asked, who are they? They replied, we used to order people to do good and not do it ourselves, and advise people against evil even as we were doing it ourselves. We used to advise people against evil even while we were doing it ourselves. So he says, beware, O destitute one, of following shaitan's disingenuous advice and being roped in by his deceit. And then he curses the scholars and he says, destruction or woe to the ignorant one because he did not seek knowledge. Because he did not seek knowledge. And destruction 1,000 times to the knowledgeable one who did not act upon his knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from those people, from being amongst those people who do not act in accordance to their knowledge. And the next paragraph or the next line, Imam Ghazali rahimahullah breaks it up into 3 groups of what kind of student that we should be. And inshallah in the next class we'll go over that too. And there's many hadith for scholars or for anyone who has any knowledge and doesn't act upon it, the wrath or the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.